Alright, I think we're on. Alright, so, so this morning one of the special features we have is that I pressed the wrong button on the copy machine, so everyone's staple on their copy is on the bottom right corner. It's a special this week only, hopefully. Alright, so this week, discussing interesting point in the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is that we, last week, we finished with the period of history that followed the Anshei Knesset Gedola. We then had the period of the Zugos, when there was a partnership of the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, where they were together in charge of the Beis Din. There was a Beis Din Hagadol, and they ran it jointly, so there was an authority of Beis Din Hagadol. They had the ability to define Torah Shebaal Peh, to create gzeros that were binding on everyone, and to give over to the next generation a definitive body called the Torah Shebaal Peh. But there was the Nasi was no longer solely in charge. We had the Zugos, we had the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. We discussed last week exactly what the role of the Av Beis Din was. Or we attempted to discuss that, and so that was the end of the period, basically, of the Zugos. So now we get into a period, and I think we pointed it out at the very end last week. We'll point it out again this week in case we didn't. That basically you have by Hillel and Shammai that it says Hillel Shammai u Beis Dinam. We're at the right before where I started underlining. That Hillel and Shammai and their Beis Din kiblu mi Shammai v'Avtalion u Beis Dinam. They received from Shmaya and Avtalion and their Beis Din. And now after that Beis Din of Hillel and Shammai, Beis Din disappears until...
Approximately what year was that in?
Was which in? Hillel and Shammai?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with around zero. Right around the turn of the Common Era.
Right before Kerbin. Right before Korban.
Right before Korban, yes. Hillel was in the the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So then we have Beis Din by Hillel and Shammai. They have a Beis Din, and then Beis Din disappears, right? We read on in the Rambam in a moment, we'll see that Beis Din is not mentioned anymore, as it has been for the past few generations. And it only crops back up when we get to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, again, we'll see, has a Beis Din, and then after that, it disappears again. And we'll discuss that in the coming weeks, exactly what the nature of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's Beis Din was, and what the exact circumstances and nature of his Beis Din was. But for this week, we want to just see the progression from the period of Hillel and Shammai and their Beis Din to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And what we see is something very interesting, which up until now, we have only had one line of Masorah. We basically had that there was every generation, it was either the Nasi of that generation was the Rosh HaMekablim, was the chief recipient of the Masorah from the previous generation and passed it on to the next generation. When there was no Beis Din Gadol, there was no Nasi, it was just the biggest Talmud Chacham, whoever it was. We saw the time of the Zakenim, where we didn't really name anyone except for Pinchas. But there was always just a monolithic, single line of the Masorah being passed down. It was one individual who was in charge, or who was the head of the Masorah for all of the time when there was a Beis Din, but for seemingly the entire Masorah. All of a sudden, what we see now is, if you look where he started underlining, it says, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai v'Rabban Shimon beno shel Hillel azaken kiblo mehillel shamai u'Beis Dino. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and Shimon, the son of Hillel, were Mekabel from Hillel. So we had Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and Hillel were both Mekabel from Hillel. I'm sorry, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and Shimon were both Mekabel from Hillel. So now it says, Chamisha Talmidim Hayu Lo L'Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai had five students. V'heim Gedole Acham Shekibul Imenu V'Eluhim. And they were the greatest of the Chachamim who received from Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And then it lists off the five students of Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And then it lists their students and their students' students. That's where we have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and all of the, you know, the Gedolei HaTanayim that we're used to seeing in you know, Mishnayos, all primarily the students here of Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai and his Talmidim and that school. So we have Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai received from Hillel, and he had his five Talmidim, and they had their Gedolei HaTalmidim, and they had their Talmidim, right? Until it gets down to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Tarfon, right? And that group. Now, if you go back down to where I have the next underline, then it goes back up, and it says Rabban Gamliel Hazaken Kibel Me Rabban Shimon Aviv Beno Shel Hillel Hazaken. Rabban Gamliel received from his father, who received from his father was Hillel. So we had, first of all, Hillel had two students who were named. It was his Hillel's son, Shimon, and Hillel's Talmid, Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai then had his students. And now we go back up to Hillel's son, Shimon. And Shimon had his son, Rabban Gamliel, who received from him. And Rabban Shimon, his son, received from him. And Rabban Gamliel, his son, received from him. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi received, now say Rabbi Yehuda Beno Shel Rabban Shimon Zehu Anikra Rabbeinu HaKadosh Vehu Kibel Me Aviv U Me Rabbi Elazar Ben Shemuel Rabbi Shimon Chaveiro. So now we get to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and all of a sudden the two chains reconverge. Now we have that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh received from his father Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, and from Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, who was the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the Talmidim from Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So we have this split in the Masorah that it goes from the okay. I'm sorry, I just have too much going floating around here. No, I'm good. I just didn't realize they have two things. Okay.
Be like a lot of different paths. Like Jews were living in different parts of the world.
Well,
there should be Masorahs like five different layers of Masorahs.
So one important. Well, so two parts of answering that question. One, we'll see in a moment exactly what we're talking about. The second thing is that when we talk about Masorah here, we're not really talking about, you know, different minhagim and things like that, which also did not really develop so much at this point for a reason we'll discuss. But generally, we're talking about the Masorah of the halacha of Torah Shebaal Peh, of what the actual content of Torah Shebaal Peh said, which it could include, you know, a machlokas. It could include the fact that one chacham said this and another chacham said something else could be part of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that there was not so much, you know, disagreement about what exactly had been said up until a certain point, which we'll get to in a minute. But just in terms of why there was no machlokas, or why there was no separation. So in a moment we'll talk about exactly what this separation was and why it reconverged, but just in terms of addressing your specific question, up until now, we're talking about a period of history that where there was always a Beis Din HaGadol. And as long as there was a Beis Din HaGadol, as we discussed, the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol was to state definitively, this is what the Torah Shebaal Peh says. And that was what the Torah itself says, that if you had a machlokas, you had something that was unclear, v'alisa el hamakom, you go up to the Sanhedrin, who was Yoshev v'lishkas hagazus in Yerushalayim, and they would answer the question, and that was the end of the discussion. And we saw last week that the Rambam says that once the Sanhedrin HaGadol said, this is the halacha, that was the end of the discussion. There was they left the Beis Din, and that was the end of it. There was no more room for reopening. So there was one. No matter how many different chachamim there were, there is only one Sanhedrin, and everything was defined as long as there was a Sanhedrin HaGadol, which had the din of a Sanhedrin HaGadol. There was only one entity which had the authority to say, this is Torah Shebaal Peh. So when the Sanhedrin of one generation passed the Masorah on to the next generation, they had the ability to say, everything that we are giving over is Torah Shebal Peh, and everything else is not Torah Shebal Peh. And they had that was the authority given and the responsibility given to the Sanhedrin was to definitively give over the Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh from each generation to the next. So as long as there was a Sanhedrin Agogo, there was really no room for these kind of machloksim to develop. Which is why we mentioned last week, that the time of when the persecution of the Romans increased, and that's when Hillel and Shammai were a Sanhedrin Agogo, they had a Beis Din. And their students, says the Gemara, that they were, at the time of Hillel and Shammai, is the time when Rabu HaMachlokas, when there became many different arguments and many different things, because that was the time when they're no longer able to get together, they're no longer able to convene, and once they're no longer able to convene, they don't have the din of a Sanhedrin. There was a Sanhedrin is only a Sanhedrin because they represent all of Jewry getting together, or their representative body of all of the Chachamim, of all of Klal Yisrael. As soon as they weren't able to get together, they no longer had the status of the Sanhedrin, and they were no longer able to definitively close the questions that were asked, and that's why you had many machloksim develop at that point. But really, what we're talking about here, this split in the Masorah, in the Kabbalah, in the transmission here, is something very different. I wanted to talk about that now.
Continuation from Shammai? From Shammai, was there any continuation? It's all Tamidim of her.
Right, so there is somewhat of a minimal continuation of the Masorah from Shammai. For the most part, it was not continued because the Gemara itself says that a bas kol, a heavenly voice, came out and said that the halacha is like Beis Hillel.
In most cases.
Well, so we have basically like 18 cases of this one specific event, right? But in general, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, so we generally, the Masorah follows the school of Beis Hillel. You have certain people in the Gemara who it points out were Talmidim of Beis Shammai, like you have Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was a Talmid of the school of Beis Shammai, and different things like that. And sometimes the Gemara explains that we're not following them because they're of the school of Beis Shammai.
It does say his Talmud and his son, they were Kibbutz Mehil Vishammai in brackets.
Right.
So they sort of took a little bit of both.
Well, so what it means there is that they received the Masorah of what Torah Shebal Peh was from Hillel and Shammai, right? First of all, the first thing is at the time of Hillel and Shammai, the Gemara says there were only three machloksim. The time of by the students of Hillel and Shammai, it became many, many different arguments. But it says that Hillel and Shammai themselves only had three things that they disagreed about. But the Kabbalah that we're talking about is not even, you know, the specific opinions, but was just the general knowledge of what is Torah Shebal Peh, of what, you know, what Torah Shebal Peh says. But so basically we have that Hillel and Shammai, there was just the two of them, and they were the part of the Beis Din, and then it splits into the Talmid of Hillel and the son of Hillel. And the Talmid of Hillel, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, then goes to the Talmid of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, and goes to the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, and it goes through his Talmidim until it gets to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, and then to his student Rabbi Yehuda. And the son of Hillel, Shimon, goes to his son Gamliel, goes to his son Hillel, Shimon, goes to his son Gamliel, to his son Shimon, to his son Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Right, so you have two trains here. One is the transmission from Talmud to Talmud, from student to student, and one is the transmission from father to son, father to son, father to son, until they reconverge to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So, a few questions to talk about here. So, first of all, what caused this split? Why is it that at this point there was a split in the Masorah or in the Kabbalah, in the transmission of the body of Torah Shebal Peh? One question.
I feel like you had your first serious split when Babel split from Yerushalayim. Because then you have two different Gemaras, in a sense. I feel like that
was way after Rabbi Yehuda.
Right, that happened much later.
So that's like, because it's a quasi split, because you still have everyone in one place for the importance. So I guess it depends how you want to define this.
I don't know if there was actually less of it. You find throughout the Gemara.
I mean, they
that they're always students going back and forth. Right, and they're always so they always knew what each other said. It seems like there was actually more of a split in the time of the students of Hillel and Shammai than there was between the in the two Gemaras. They never really have there's points where the Gemaras argue on each other, whatever it is, but you find more disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai than you do between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, interestingly enough. All right, but in any case, so one question is, what caused, why is it that there was this split? What's the nature of the split? What is the division here? And the third question I want to talk about is that we never find, up until now, in the history of Torah Sheba'al Peh, any concept of ben achar ben, of a father-to-son transmission. So is it just coincidence that one of these two chains happens to be father-to-son? In a chain of, a lineage here? Or is there some reason, is there something that at this point in the Masorah that there happens to be some way in which this chelek, this aspect of the Masorah, became in a subject of father to son? So we talk about all these things and try and, put all of them together into one package here. But so we'll try and talk about how it start with the first question is, or really the second question, what is the nature of this split? So if you look on still on our first page here, way back when, so we had towards the very beginning, we had Moshe received the Torah Sheba'al Peh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it said that Moshe had three students. It was Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua. You look over here on the right side column, and we discussed this at length at the time, but it says, Uli Yehoshua, Shehu Talmido Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, Masar Torah Sheba'al Peh, Vitzivahu Alea. That to Yehoshua, Moshe gave over the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and he commanded him over it. And we discussed at the time what the idea is of these two different things, the Masira of Torah Sheba'al Peh, which means, the handing over, the transmission of it, and Tzivahu Aleha, and he commanded him regarding it, he commanded him over it. So what are these two different things that Moshe gave to Yoshua? And we discussed at the time, based on the comments of the Rambam elsewhere and contextually, but that the idea of the Masira of Torah Sheba'al Peh was that which Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Yoshua, the authority. Masira, to be Moser something, means I'm handing it over to you. It was mine, and now I'm giving it over to you. That is the authority of Torah Sheba'al Peh, that ability that Beis Din has to define Torah Sheba'al Peh in every generation, the way in which it is meant to be taught and learned, to add on to it with drushas and gzeiras and takanos and all of those things. That's the control, the jurisdiction that the Beis Din has of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And this is the most central significance of Beis Din Agadol, as we discussed. There is in the times when there was not a Beis Din Agadol, so the authority or the role of the Gedolei HaChachamim, of the leaders, was just to be custodians of Torah Sheba'al Peh. They merely were responsible in preserving it to hand it over to the next generation until such time that it is faithfully given to the next Sanhedrin HaGadol. But it's only a Sanhedrin HaGadol that has jurisdiction, that has authority over Torah Sheba'al Peh, has the ability to define Torah Sheba'al Peh and to add on to it, to make new drushos and things like that, which become part of the canon of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that was one element of what Moshe gave over to Yoshua, was the Masira, the control over Torah Sheba'al Peh. The other thing you had was Tzivahu Aleha, that he ordered him regarding it, that he gave him the responsibility of protecting and preserving Torah Sheba'al Peh. And we discussed this at the time, exactly what that involved, but that the Nasi of the Beis Din HaGadol, the leader of the Sanhedrin, had the responsibility for protecting the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and we discussed one of the main things that the Nasi had to do, and that the Sanhedrin had to do, was making sure that they appointed the proper people to be part of the Beis Din. So, seemingly there are these two elements of the Masorah. There's the element of the authority over the Torah, and there's the element of the responsibility over the Torah, over the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So, and these are two different things which Yoshua and every Beis Din thereafter had both of those roles. And we see this really in the Gemara. If you turn the page, there's a couple of sources for this. So maybe we won't go through the entire Gemara inside here, but the Gemara basically has this story where Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua were traveling together on a boat. And Rabban Gamliel ran out of bread, and he had to rely on Rabbi Yehoshua, had brought some flour with him so that he could make new bread while they were on the boat. And Rabban Gamliel asked him, you know, how did you have such foresight to know that we would be at sea for so long that you would need to bring flour that you could bake new bread, that the bread that we brought would run out and would go stale and whatever, that you brought flour with you? And he says, and Rabbi Yeshua says, well, there's this one star that it shows up in the constellations every 70 years. You know, presumably it means it's some kind of comet on some, you know, orbit, whatever it is, but that shows up once every 70 years, and it, you know, leads the sailors astray, because, you know, the sailors back in the day, before GPS, they would follow, their travels were based on following the stars, and so this star would show up every 70 years, and they would think that it was the northern star or something like that. It would confuse them. They'd follow that star. It would lead them astray. And says Rabbi Yeshua, and I had calculated that this was, you know, around that time, and so I was concerned that that might happen, and therefore I brought extra flour with me just in case. So Rabban Gamliel is thoroughly impressed with Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, wow, it's such a shame that you have such wisdom, and yet you're stuck here traveling on a boat that you have to go and make a parnassa, that you have to, you know, go to such lengths to support yourself if you have such wisdom. And so
he was wiser, he wanted to get on the boat in the first place. Right.
So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabban Gamliel, you know, before you're wondering about me, you should wonder, you have two students in your academy, and their names are, he says, Rabbi Elazar Chasma and Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, that both of them have enough wisdom that they could tell you how many drops of water there are in the ocean. And yet they're both living without bread to eat and without clothes to wear. And they're, you know, as poor as can be. So, you know, before you're, it's a shame about how poor I am that I have to, you know, go to such lengths to make a parnassa, you should really be sad or lamenting their state. So then the Gemara says, Rabban Gamliel, it says at the second to last line here, at the end of the line, it says, Nasan Daito Lahoshivam Barosh, that Rabban Gamliel decided to appoint them as the Rosh. We'll see what that means in a minute. Right, he says that when he got on the shore, he came and he sent for them, and they didn't come, and he sent for them again, and then they came, and he says, you guys think that I am giving you srara, that I'm giving you a position of, you know, respect and authority, and that's why you didn't want to come the first time. You say, you know, we don't want to take a position of, you know, covered, whatever it is. He says, that's not what I'm giving you. I'm giving you a position of avdus. I'm making you avadim, because now you're going to be in a position of public responsibility, and you're responsible to the tzibor, and therefore it's not, you know, don't think that you're getting a position of that I'm giving you a gift. I'm actually giving you an avdus. You're becoming slaves to the community. But in any case, so what does it mean that he wanted to set them up as the Rosh, as the leaders? So Rashi brings an explanation, but if you look on the bottom here, the Tosfos Rosh disagrees with Rashi, and the Tosfos Rosh says that Lashon Lahoshivam Barosh B'Yeshiva Mashma, that to put them as the Rosh, Lahoshivam Barosh, sounds like he's going to put them at the head of the yeshiva. Kida Amrinan Biksubas Bishile Parakanose de Rvichinina Barchama Yoshev Barosh, that he sat at the head of the yeshiva. Elamishum de Ashba Bihurib Yoshua Kulehai Amar Ruyim Halalo Leshev Barosh Vlimnosam Parnes Alatzibor, that since these people are so, that Yeshua had praised them to such lengths, that he saw that it was appropriate that they be, you know, in charge of being in charge of the yeshiva and running the communal matters there, and whatever that meant. But
and they would be supported by the community.
I guess and they would be. But the Tos of the Rosh actually goes to say he was not doing that in order that they get a parnassa. The little words that I skipped between my two underlines say a very funny line out of context, Ubi Yeshiva, my Parnasa Ika, which means what Parnasa is there in Yeshiva?
You tell us, you have more experience.
But basically say that he was not appointing them there in order that they be able to, you know, live comfortably, because that's not, you know, what happens in Yeshiva. But rather he was appointing them because they had the capability to, they were, you know, bar hachi, they were qualified to be leaders of the community. But in any case, so you see from the Gemara that Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, he was the Nasi at the time, so he had the ability to appoint people to be, if he decided that someone was appropriate to be a Rosh Yeshiva, to be teaching Torah, so he had the ability to appoint them to do so. So that's, you see in the Gemara that there was really this authority of the Sanhedrin. And the Rambam, we saw in, I don't have it in this week's source sheet, but the Rambam we saw really in Hilchos Sanhedrin says the same thing, that one of the jobs of the Beis Din, as led by the Nasi, was to appoint the Dayanim of the other Beis Dins, that in every, the Beis Din in every city, they were appointed by the Beis Din Agadol, and they promoted people to be up to the higher Beis Dins. That was all run through the Sanhedrin, and that's the role of the Vetzivahu Aleh. That's the responsibility over Torah Shebaal Peh that the Nasi has. That half of the job is running the Beis Din and making sure that Torah Shebaal Peh is protected and preserved. It's not the teaching of Torah Shebaal Peh, and it's not the paskening and giving halacha, but it's the ensuring that Torah Shebaal Peh is preserved, taking responsibility to make sure that the appropriate people are assigned as the Dayanim, and that the people who are not appropriate should not be the Dayanim. So that's one aspect, one element. And so the question is, so exactly what happened in our, that was the role, the Nasi had two roles. He had the job of that transmission of the Torah and of the protecting it. So when the Sanhedrin is a position when the Nasi is a position of Torah, right? When the job of the Nasi, when you have a Beis Din Agadol and the Nasi is responsible for teaching Torah and for defining Torah Shebaal Peh, so it was necessary that specifically the Gadol Hador, the Gadol Shebedoro, was the Nasi, the person who had both responsibilities, the responsibility to teach and the responsibility to protect the Torah Shebaal Peh. So when you have one person doing both, that has to be the Gadol Bedar. And therefore, there's no room for a father after son transmission, because who says that specific, if the job is the job of defining the Torah, of defining Torah Shebaal Peh, so that has to be done by the person most qualified to do that. That has to be done by the Gadol Hadar, by the Gadol Bedoro. And that's the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, who's always the Gadol B'chachma of the members of the Sanhedrin. What we have in our, as long as there's a Beis Din Agadol, that's the job of the Nasi, is to define Torah Shebaal Peh. But when we get to the generation after Hillel and Shammai, and as we discuss, we have this period of upheaval where the Chachamim are no longer able to get together, and we no longer have a Beis Din Agadol. So there's no longer a Beis Din, so the Nasi is no longer the person who's defining Torah Shebaal Peh. The position of Nasi is no longer one person who is in charge of the Sanhedrin, who therefore has the ability to say what Torah Shebaal Peh is. So the Nasi is now the position of protecting the Torah Shebaal Peh at that point in time. So you have one person whose job it is to protect the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's the position of the Nasi. It's called the Nasi. He's not really a Nasi of Sanhedrin, but the position of leader of Klal Yisrael at that time becomes a person who's in charge of, basically, there is no longer a king in Israel at that time. The time when the Romans came in, they took away the political authority from the Jewish people. The person who they looked to, the person who was in charge at that time, was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. It was a position of taking care of the tzibur. That's what the position of the Nasi was. And therefore, the Nasi was no longer defining what Torah was, is a person who is taking, who is in charge of making sure that Torah life continues. And we find, actually, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was part of this chain, that he actually wasn't sure if he had a din of melech, if he had the status of being a king, because he was, in as we're saying, that he was at this, in this state of history where the job of the Nasi was essentially to be the leader of the community, the leader of the entire Jewish population, who they were looking to define and to run all of the guidance of the tzibor. We'll skip the Gemara, but the Gemara in Horios that says that that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that he wasn't sure if he should be the, if he would make a mistake and have to bring a sacrifice, had he been in the times of the temple, he wasn't sure if maybe he should bring the sacrifice that a king brings when he makes a mistake, because since he was a position of basically, he wasn't a real king. He couldn't, you know, put people to death and all of these things. But he was in a position of political authority, so he wasn't sure if perhaps he should have the position of the halachic status of bringing the korban that a king brings, because that was the shift in the role of the nasi, that he was now bringing leading the tzibor in a much more political fashion. And therefore, to turn the page, you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shoft in Hilchos Malachim. So the Rambam says, he talks about that the role of king was always passed down from father to son. And the Rambam says, "V'lo ha-malchus bilvad, ela kol hasraros v'kol ha-menuyim shebi Yisrael Yerusha livno uleven bino." That not only the position of melech, of king, but any position of authority, any position of rulership in the Jewish people was always a Yerusha, was always something which was passed from father to son, ad olam, eternally. V'hushia ben memala makum avosav b'chachma v'yira, as long as the son is qualified, right? If the son is, you know, a bumbling whatever it is, so he's not going to take over. But as long as the son was a qualified candidate, he had, so to speak, dibs, he was the first choice to take over the position of his father. There's a long chasam sofer discusses this regarding rabbinical positions in Europe, whether or not they had this halacha of srara, that if there was a son who was appropriate to take over, whether or not he had the right to assume the position of rabbanus that his father had when his father passed away. Right, the chasam sofer that discusses, but it's not limited to just king. Any position of authority is a schus, that's the person who has that certain authority, you know, their tremendous responsibility. It's not a privilege that they have, it's a responsibility that they have. So they're really, there's something that they took for themselves. So that's something that goes on, that becomes, as long as it's not, you know, an irresponsibility to pass it on, it's something that becomes their right to they own that position to pass it on to the next generation. So the Rambam says, and we'll see, Kasim Nisha says where this comes from, if it happened to be that the son was as pious as his father, but not as wise, so you give him the position and you teach him to be as wise as his father was. As opposed to the other way around, you can't necessarily teach someone to be as pious, but so, says the Rambam, any position of authority was always a position that was handed down to the
Chassidim.
The Chassidim must love this Rambam, I guess so. But in any case, the Kesef Mishnah here sources this halacha to a story about Rabban Gamliel. It says that Rabban Gamliel, the next Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, that he was not Mamala Makum Aviv B'chachma, he wasn't as wise as his father, and yet his father appointed him to be the Nasi after him. And the Gemara says, because even though he wasn't as wise, he was as pious, and therefore they could teach him to be as wise. But the case of the Gemara, where this halacha is learned from, is the discussion of Nasi of the Sanhedrin, of Rabbi Yehuda appointing his son, Rabban Gamliel. So there's even within the Sanhedrin, we find this, once the Sanhedrin becomes a role of, up until now, this wasn't the case, right? David HaMelech did not give over the Nasias of the Sanhedrin to his son, to Shlomo, and Shmuel did not give it to any to his children. None of the priests, Nasiim, ever handed over the role of Nasi of Sanhedrin to their son. It always passed on to the greatest leader of the next generation, because up until then, the role of Nasi was not a role of Srara. You weren't a ruler. You were a position of a Torah leader. You taught the Torah. You were in charge of ensuring the transmission of the Torah. But it was a position of Torah. Once the breakdown of the Sanhedrin, of the Beis Din HaGadol, happened in the time of Hillel and in the generation after Hillel and Shammai, the role of Nasi is no longer a position of Torah. It's a position of Srara. It's a position of authority, of making sure they're responsible for the Torah. They take over that aspect of the Tziva Aleha, of taking responsibility for the Torah Shebaal Peh, to make sure that the Torah Shebaal Peh is faithfully guarded and transmitted through qualified individuals. That's the role of the Nasiim, following Hillel, Shimon, and Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and that whole chain until Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, is always that role of Srar, and therefore it goes from father to son, like the halacha that the Rambam says, that the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, I'm sorry, the transmission of a position of Srara is something which goes from father to son. I'm going to skip the next source, because just for time purposes, but the last thing I wanted, as opposed to, there was the other half of the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. The other half of the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh was the Masar, that Moshe was Masar Torah to Yoshua, that he handed over the Torah Shebaal Peh to Yoshua, and Yoshua had the ability to define the Torah Shebaal Peh, the ability to teach Torah Shebaal Peh in such a way that in the next generation say, this is what Torah Shebaal Peh says. And that was the other half of the position of Nasi, which we might call probably the more significant half, was that when you were the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, you had the ability to say, this is what Torah Shebaal Peh says. This is the definition of Torah Shebaal Peh as defined by the Sanhedrin. That's what was handed over to the next generation. So that position is something which is not a position which is going to be handed down father to son. That's something which is going to be the greatest chacham in each generation. The gadol b'chachma b'talmidim, the greatest student of each generation, is going to be who assumes the mantle of that responsibility, even though they're not a real Sanhedrin, as we said, that there is no more Beis Din HaGadol after the generation of Hillel, and there's no official Sanhedrin, and they can't really define Torah Shebaal Peh in the same way that the Nasi of a real Sanhedrin would, but they were still, in terms of asking and answering, in terms of answering Shilohs, in terms of who they would turn to for Torah guidance, for who's answering the questions, and who is issuing, who is teaching Torah to Yisrael, so that job is still going to be done by the greatest of the Talmidim, as the Rambam said in the very beginning. He said, "Gadol him gedolei hachachamim shekiblu menu ve'elohim," that the gedolei hachachamim, the greatest of the chachamim who received from Hillel and who received from Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, those are the other chain of the Masorah, that it's going from gadol to gadol to gadol. That the chachma of Torah, that's a separate position. That's the mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh, the power of teaching Torah, which is a separate element of the position of Nasi. That always remains by the chachamim of Torah Shebaal of the Torah, and therefore there's in the time after Rabbi Yehuda, in the time after Hillel. So when you no longer have a Sanhedrin, so the dual responsibility of the Navi can be split into two positions. You have one position, which is the position which is responsible for taking care of Torah, for protecting Torah Shebaal Peh, and that position develops into a position not just of protecting Torah Shebaal Peh, but of protecting the Jewish people, the all of Jewish society, and they become the makeshift political leader of the Jewish people in that time. The Nasi is a person who is almost the position of a melech, of a king. It's a position of authority. He has the ability to appoint a dayanim. They have the ability to do other things, and therefore that's a position of authority which goes from father to son, as opposed to you have the other half which is the position of the Torah authority of the generation. That's always going from the Gedolei HaChachamim from one generation to the next. That all comes back together, as we mentioned at the very beginning, with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and we'll discuss, it's very significant that specifically these two positions come together with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. We'll discuss in the coming weeks exactly what position, possibly one of the most significant positions in all of the history of Torah Shebaal Peh, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi filled, that all comes together with these two mesoras, with these two chains coming back together with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. You had the chain of the father to son, and Rabbi Yehuda happened to be the son of his of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. However, Rabbi Yehuda also happened to be the Gavlo B'Chachma, the greatest Talmud of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. And therefore you have that by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, these two positions came because he was individually qualified for both of them. He was the son of the previous communal leader, of the Nasi who was guiding the Jewish people in terms of the protection of Jewish life. And he was also the greatest student of the Torah authority. And therefore, this is how the Rambam understands, and Rashi really understands this way also. Look at the very last source we have, or the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, which says that famous statement, Amar Rabba Bereja Rabba became Rahil Bereja Rabbalas, Miyamos Moshe V'ad Rebbe, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Lo Matzinu Torah Ugedula B'makom Echad, we do not find Torah, meaning Chachma of Torah, and Gedula, meaning rulership of the Jewish people, in one person, to the extent that it was in Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, because Moshe, Rashi says, that Torah Ugedula Shel Yisrael Ba'adam Echad, She'ein Kamoso B'kol Yisrael, there's no one of comparable stature in the entire Jewish people, but Torah u'b'gedula, in either Torah or in status. Kigon Moshe, like Moshe, God will call Israel, b'malchus u'b'torah. Moshe had the status of being a melech over the Jewish people, and he was also, obviously, the greatest Talmud Chacham of the Jewish people. You don't have that until Rebbe, because at the whole time of the Nisiyim, you either had someone who, there was another authority who was the leadership authority over the Jewish people who was still there. You had the time of the Nisiyim, there was the king. He might have been the Nasi, the Navi might have been the greatest Torah authority, but there was a Melech who was a greater rulership authority. It's not until you get to the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi where you have someone who is both in the political leadership of the Jewish people and in the Torah leadership of the Jewish people is the highest authority in both categories. And that's going to be very significant in what exactly the role of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was. As we know, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the compiler of the Mishnah, that the central position that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had, because he both served as the political leader and as the Torah leader of the Jewish people in that generation, and the recipient of both positions of authority in the Jewish people. All right, we're gonna have a mezumin now, so I'm gonna just pause here, and we have questions after, as soon as I figure out how to do this.